Well, good day, good afternoon, good morning. Of course, you could be listening from almost anywhere in the great universe that we call home, so I will bid you a very good day. This is Adam Lepp, the computer guy, also the host of Mid-Morning Coffee Break, and we're going to talk technology and maybe a little bit of politics and what's going on in the great world that we live in during the next 45 minutes or so here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Thank you so much for listening. We get together multiple times between about 10:15 a.m. and 11 on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday between 2:15 p.m. and 3 p.m. here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. We may talk about computers, we may talk about politics, we may talk about current events, or I may even tell some jokes. You really don't know what's going to happen on this radio station when I am in front of the microphone. Of course, the election has come and gone. Honestly, they're not really sure who won said election. I personally don't trust any of the results since 2000, and that includes candidates that I like and candidates I don't like. This election, though, especially is quite troubling, as there were very many close races. Ohio wasn't as close as I was thinking. I was expecting Trump to win, but not by much. Instead, it was a bit of a landslide. Very different, the votes in the urban areas, as Biden did very well in Columbus, but in the suburbs, in the smaller towns, right here in Marion, Mount Gilead, upper Sandusky area, it definitely is Donald country. Here in Marion, we have a Democratic mayor, Scott Scherzer, who graces our microphones regularly with, of course, interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears. But as I've said, and I've talked to Scott on his show about this, a smaller city mayor, the party really isn't relevant. I from hearing Scott Scherzer, I mean, he loves Marion. He's not perfect, but he does quite a bit for the area. It works well with other officials, elected and non-elected here in Marion. Does a pretty good job, and that's why he's been in office for quite a while. I don't think his political party really means anything, and honestly, if I didn't know that he was a Democrat, I couldn't tell you which party he was with. But, of course, on a national level, a congressional level, Jim Jordan also getting a resounding victory. That wasn't surprising. He services a large part of our listening audience. In that case, Republican or Democrat certainly does make a difference. And Biden, certainly traditional type of Democrat. Trump, well, kind of marches to the beat of a different drummer in many ways. So even calling him a Republican might be a bit of a stretch, but certainly he is conservative on many issues and very different candidate from Biden. Biden having a lot of experience. He's been around a long time. Trump never had elected office experience before becoming essentially the leader of the free world just under 4 years ago. But we're still not totally sure again about these election results. We may never be sure. Who knows? But certainly, bottom line, January 20th at 12 noon will be a very interesting time. Get the popcorn ready. It'll be fun. Many people have, myself included, have kind of gotten aggravated at how Facebook and other social media platforms likes to censor stuff. Say, what is fake news? What needs to be fact-checked? And I do believe that their own biases have a lot to do with what they say. It isn't necessarily a true fact-check. Facebook is kind of like Microsoft in that it's basically a monopoly. There's not really any competition. There certainly are similar platforms, including some failed ventures like Google+. Almost anything Google does turns to gold, but Google+ was a dud, to put it mildly. We did have MySpace a while back, which was similar to Facebook in many ways, but it's around, but it certainly isn't what it was 25 years ago. So is there an alternative to Facebook, an alternative to Twitter? There's obviously a long and difficult road to any platform that tries to take away the crown, so to speak, of Facebook or Twitter, you have quite possibly heard about Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. I know a lot of my Facebook friends have posted they're going to stop using Facebook and they're just going to use Parler instead. I'm not sure I believe that, but they might also use Parler and give it a run for its money, get their feet wet, so to speak. Parler calls itself a non-biased, free speech alternative to Twitter and Facebook. According to Fox Business, this Parler app was downloaded over 300 times in the first week of November. Their CEO, John Matzy, said, "People trust Parler because Parler trusts people. We welcome all to join our platform, which emphasizes free speech and open discourse." So do Facebook and Twitter not necessarily allow free speech and open discourse? Well, they kind of do, but they kind of don't. But again, they are private businesses. You can choose not to use Facebook, but it's kind of like Microsoft Outlook, Adobe Photoshop, and other software programs that people like myself use just about every day. And so do millions of other people. There really isn't a viable competitor, so you're kind of stuck with them. Take it or leave it, so to speak. But again, it is a free enterprise system. You are free to take your social media usage elsewhere. And that's what Parler and others are about. Karen Kovacs-North, she's the director of the Annenberg Program on Online Communities at the University of Southern California. She said a number of factors may be fueling the fevered interest in the app. We've had a few recent events that have drawn people to it. And one is, not surprisingly, the election. The second is the crackdown by social media platforms on misleading news, which conservatives feel is an unfair crackdown on their opportunity to communicate with each other. Another is a rush of conservative thought leaders to Parler and urging others to go to the platform, which is a sort of Twitter for conservatives. Conservatwitter. You know how much I like to play with words and be a wordsmith, tell rhymes, puns, alliterations. Conservatwitter, kind of like the sound of that. Now, Parler's target audience seems to be users disenchanted with existing offerings on the internet. Mike Horning, he's a professor of multimedia journalism at Virginia Tech. Pretty good school. He said, "They're definitely targeting a demographic that wants to find an alternative to the other social media companies like Twitter and Facebook." Parler's other pitch, their main pitch, essentially, Twitter, but more conservative friendly. And that comes from Julian Sanchez, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute in D.C. That's the sole real distinguishing feature they're offering, so I think it's safe to say that interest in the platform is almost entirely an expression of dissatisfaction with the more aggressive moderation policies being adopted by legacy platforms. Charles King, there's a guy we quote often, a smart gentleman. He is with Pundit, a technology advisory firm in Hayward, California. He said dissatisfaction with Twitter and Facebook is the central value proposition of Parler. I don't know whether it's measurably growing or if the app's sudden popularity simply reflects disappointment over the election. The real measure will be in seeing whether the app's downloads grow and how much time users spend on the platform. Parler is selling itself as friendlier to online free speech than other platforms, but Julian Sanchez maintained that it's not clear that's the case. Some progressives say the platform doesn't seem to have any problem censoring speech from the left. Now it kind of sounds like the opposite of Twitter and Facebook. Are Zuckerberg and his friends to the left? Well, I would say they probably are, but it kind of depends upon the issue. And they're certainly more sensitive about some things than others. What does seem to be true is that they are not doing the kind of flagging and fact-checking of misinformation that Twitter and Facebook have rolled out and intend to permit a lot of content that might be restricted as hate speech elsewhere. This is an advantage primarily from the perspective of those who feel the incumbent platforms have gone too far in limiting acceptable user speech, and especially those who believe policy on the incumbents to be tainted by political bias. Despite its recent popularity, Parler, we're talking about an alternative, it's thought to be a more conservative slanted, politically conservative slanted alternative to Twitter and Facebook. As there's no secret, Twitter and Facebook are known to censor some postings, especially if they tend to the right. Now, Parler, according to the expert Julian Sanchez, we've quoted a couple times, is unlikely to pose much of a threat to established social media platforms. Well before the election, we saw a lot of prominent folks on the right make a show of setting up Parler accounts, but virtually all of them are still on Twitter, because that's where the audience is. It's easy to forget in an election year, but social networking platforms aren't just about sharing political content, and at least at present, Parler is really marketing itself almost exclusively to folks on the right who care intensely about that kind of content. That might be enough of a market niche to keep it afloat as an alternative for the audience. But it's not a recipe for seriously challenging the incumbents at the end of the day. Anyone who wants to reach a wider audience is still going to maintain accounts on Facebook and Twitter. So we'll find out if these friends of mine who say they've had it with Facebook are going to become Parlerites instead. We'll play that one by ear. Now, even if Parler were aiming at a wide audience, it would face a problem common to any upstart social media platform trying to compete with the heavyweights in the market. The problem all these new social media startups face is getting a critical mass. You need a critical mass of users to incentivize people to go there. If you're on Facebook, it's probably because your friends and family are there. Everybody's on Facebook. My friends, my family. In fact, that's how I communicate with a lot of my friends. Some of them don't even have a phone, or they prefer just to use Facebook messaging. I mean, it's a very widely used platform, out of lack of a better term. If you go to another social platform and there is no one there, it's not much fun. Critical mass is also important for attracting advertisers, because Mark Zuckerberg told Congress that's how they make money. Yeah, they sell ads, and when you have millions and zillions of users, people want to buy ads. Advertisers look for sizable audiences and demographics. In the most optimal circumstances, those dynamics fuel one another, but it takes a long time and a lot of funding to get there. Overcoming the critical mass problem is not impossible. Once upon a time, Friendster was the undisputed king of social networks. I'd never even heard of Friendster. Then it was MySpace. This is actually before my time, this Friendster. I've heard of MySpace, and it died a slow and then rather rapid death after Facebook became the phenomenon. So people can and do switch if a new platform is perceived as providing better features, but you need an affirmative reason to convince people to install a new app. You need to be able to answer the question, why should I bother downloading this and setting up an account when all my friends are already on the other networks? If you can't beat them, join them, right? Parler, though, according to some experts, Vincent Reynold is an assistant professor in the Department of Communication Studies at Emerson College in Boston. He said Parler could be a sign that the social media universe may be fragmenting. When TV was introduced, there were three or four channels offering pretty much the same thing. As cable TV grew, you saw more specialized channels catering to specific needs and objectives. Social media seems to be entering that phase. You started seeing it related to functionality. Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Parler is interesting because it brings in another layer, the ideology layer. Parler is exploiting the current situation in social media. There is a perception among a lot of people in the United States right now that there is a form of censorship on social media. Some people call it fact-checking. Other people call it censorship. I would say it's one or the other, and sometimes it's kind of hard to tell. In fact, as I say, if you want to read fiction, you don't have to go to the library if the library is even open. You can just watch the news because you're going to see some fiction. And that applies to the right-leaning networks like Fox and the left-leaning networks like MSNBC and CNN. I don't discriminate. I think it applies among the whole spectrum. So interesting. Parler. Will it become a phenomenon? Will it die a slow death? Will it die a rapid death? Will this be the last time that I ever talk about it? You never know. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place. WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial in the Marion, Ohio area, and broadcasting online via the great thing we call the internet, all over the great world that we live in, at WWGH1071.com. The demand for smart home devices is projected to grow steadily over the next few years. I just replaced my garage door and my garage door opener, and I figured the garage door opener, it really isn't that expensive if you go for the fancy-dancy, super-duper high-tech one. So I got a one with Wi-Fi. I can open and close my door. I can check on the status of the door. I can even take a look at when the door has been open, when it's been closed, from my smart device anywhere in the world. And it's kind of fun because, you know, I can be ditzy, to put it mildly, and I sometimes forget to close my garage door. So in case I wake up at 2 in the morning and I'm not really sure if I closed it, I don't have to go look at the garage and open up my inside door that goes to the garage and see if the door is closed. I can just look at my phone, which I always have by my side anyway, and see if the door is closed. And if I did forget to close it, just tap the button and voila, it's closed. I can go back to bed. Kind of cool. And I have some lighting in my house that I can control with my phone. I have some Alexa-enabled devices, but I really don't use them. I'm not really that fancy, but I certainly have friends who like to say, "Alexa, play this song. Turn on the lights. Turn the music off. Turn the music up." So many ways you can coordinate this marriage, so to speak, of your smartphone, your tablet, with your lighting, your music, your appliances, and your home security devices, things like the garage door. So, kind of cool. With the holiday season approaching, this will certainly be an item on a lot of people's Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa lists. Kwanzaa, or Festivus, as Mr. Costanza used to say. Of course, consumers should think carefully before making a purchase due to a trend of manufacturers phasing out some smart products. Google recently discontinued its Google Nest secure home security alarm without warning, but it says it'll work for current owners. That's the problem with this high-tech stuff. It is retired, put to an end of life, or phased out, often without warning and without reason. And Nest is pretty popular, so I do feel the pain of anybody who has the device and was hoping that it would be supported for a long time, and it is for now, but who knows, a couple years down the road. A Google spokesperson said in a statement to The Verge, "Google Nest will no longer be producing Nest Secure. However, we will continue to support our security users in all the same ways." In May, smart home device maker Wink Labs, we've talked about them a few times, announced an end to free access to its platform, saying they would begin charging a monthly service fee instead. Outrage from users saw Wink reverse its decision 2 weeks later, but that company said it would at some point require users to pay a subscription fee to offset costs. Belkin, they make networking products and other stuff. They announced last spring that they would stop supporting their cloud-enabled Wemo Netcam products on May 29th, rendering the devices useless. People were not happy about that, and I certainly would not blame them. They therefore extended the device life to June 30th. Best Buy shut down the back-end systems for various smart home devices sold under its brand Insignia. Home improvement chain Lowe's, in January of 2019, shut down its Iris smart home platform and related services effective March 31st of 2019, after failing to find a buyer for that line, which did not perform as well as they were hoping. Jack Norcotta, a senior industry analyst for smart home strategies at Strategy Analytics, said, "Far too often, consumers are left with no choice but to dispose of their now bricked devices. The economic downturn resulting from COVID-19 has impacted global consumer spending on smart home-related devices this year," according again to Jack Norcotta from Strategy Analytics. He said things will pick up next year, and he predicts global consumer spending on these devices will continue to grow at a 15% compound annual growth rate, reaching $88 billion in 2025. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, talking about smart home devices, some of which are retired, or as they say, bricked, due to essentially becoming a paperweight, by their manufacturers and distributors, much to the chagrin of consumers like you and me. Google abandoned its Nest Secure system, apparently as part of a move to bring everything related to smart homes and smart home devices under its wing, while expanding into new markets. Nest devices will be shunted over to home security and automation from ADT, in which Google will invest almost $500 million. Rishi Chandra, the VP and GM of Nest, stated in announcing this marriage with ADT, so to speak, "Together we aim to create the next generation of the helpful home based on new security solutions that will better protect and connect people to their homes and families. Google will combine its Nest devices, services, and technology with ADT's leadership position, providing security solutions for millions of homes and small businesses in the United States. Over time," he said, "Nest devices will become the cornerstone of ADT's smart home offering." The consolidation began when Google announced in May of 2019 that it would end its Works with Nest program, which lets people control Nest products through other smart home apps, on August 31st of last year, and transition users to the Works with Google Assistant platform. The fact that Google can suddenly decide to sunset a cloud API that hundreds of IoT devices, that is Internet of Things devices, smart devices, have been talking to for less than 5 years, is a bit disturbing, and I agree. That comes from Jason Perlow. He wrote that in ZDNet. It means that the idea of mixing and matching products for home automation, the very premise of which the Internet of Things and the smart home was supposed to be, is a farce. So if you buy one of these smart devices, please do your homework and see if the company is expecting to support it for the foreseeable future. I think Google is being less than kind with its customers. But, you know, they're a big company. I really don't think they're sweating it too much, which is kind of a shame. I want to let you folks know that you can go to our website, proudly hosted, curated, maintained, and programmed by yours truly, WWGH1071.com. and download and listen to literally thousands and thousands of shows that we broadcast over the last several years. My show, Scott Spears, the lovely Linda Sims, Glenn Coble, Mike Wilson, and of course, all of Scott Spears and his celebrity guests. People like Bob Barker, Doug Llewellyn, Pat Carroll, Sam Donaldson, Eleanor Clift. Of course, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, he's been on the show many times, as has one of our native daughters, so to speak, the 90-year-old Mary Ellen Withrow, the treasurer of the United States under former President William Jefferson Clinton. And before that, she was the Ohio treasurer and a local treasurer. Great lady, still sharp as a tack at age 90. Dozens of times she's been on the station with Scott and even myself a couple times. Go to our website, wwgh1071.com, and listen to Mary Ellen, to Ted Williams, the Golden Voice, and all of the aforementioned celebrities, and much, much more. That's how we roll here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. If you are somewhat, just slightly like myself, you probably watched The Jetsons when you were a kid. Kind of the opposite of the Flintstones. The Flintstones lived in the Stone Age. The Jetsons lived in a futuristic society. And they had a flying car, which, cool. Well, be careful what you wish for. The nation's first regional hub for flying cars is being built in Central Florida. And once completed in 5 years, the vehicles will be able to take passengers from Orlando to Tampa in half an hour. The Tavistock Development Corporation said it was constructing a Jetsons-like aviation facility in Orlando's Lake Nona area, the mixed-use planned community that it built. Lake Nona already is home to several medical and research facilities. The aircraft will be supplied by Lilium, a Germany-based aviation company that manufactures the industry's only five-passenger electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. At the moment, the Lilium jets can travel up to 185 miles on a one-hour charge. Passengers wanting a ride on the aircraft will be able to book reservations via their phone in a way similar to rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft. How about that? You don't have to take a car on an Uber, you can take a flying car. That's pretty cool. I guess it gives new meaning to the term lift. You get lifted up into the air, don't you? The vehicles flying and landing out of the Lake Nona vertiport will accommodate four passengers and a pilot. The cost will be similar to a first-class fare, though the price will likely go down as the service becomes more popular. Unlike planes and helicopters, the vehicles offer quick point-to-point personal travel, at least in principle. They could do away with the hassle of airports and traffic jams. Battery sizes, air traffic control, and other infrastructure issues are among the many potential challenges to commercializing them. Experts compare the buzz over flying cars to the days when the aviation industry got started with the Wright brothers and the auto industry with the Ford Model T. So some cool stuff. The Jetsons may be becoming reality. I think the next several years with possibly President Biden, but maybe someone else is president because, again, they've not really decided the election. Flying cars, diseases we're trying to get a hold of, and politicization and dramatization of just about anything and everything. It's going to be an interesting time. But I tell you one thing, here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, we're going to have news about it, we're going to talk about it, and we invite your comments, suggestions, questions, complaints as valued listeners. Yutaka Umeda. That's a pretty good name, you know. Adam's not a bad name, but I kind of like that name. It's kind of rhythmical. Rhythmic. I guess that's the word. Yutaka Umeda. So he is the 73-year-old mayor of Yamato, a town of 15,000 people in southwestern Japan. He realized that the Chinese characters used to write his name could have said differently. Sound like Joe Biden. And he discovered that while watching TV coverage of a U.S. vote count with his family. Japan uses kanji characters from China, along with phonetic Japanese script, especially for names. And the characters can sometimes be read in different ways. In Umeda's case, his first name, Yutaka, could also be pronounced Joe, while his last name becomes Biden, B-A-I-D-E-N. He has become a media and internet sensation. He said, I'm really surprised. I was told I was in the news in Japan, but I was in Tokyo yesterday and heard from people that I made news in the United States also. People have suggested that Umeda fly to Washington and to meet Biden or invite him to Yamato. But for now, he said he will be content with a congratulatory letter. To be the president of the United States was someone far away, but coincidentally, because our names are phonetically the same, I feel much closer to him when I watch his speeches and videos. So that's an interesting little tidbit. I wonder if anybody has a name that could sound like Donald Trump. We shall see. Or maybe Kamala Harris. I'm sure that that will also become an internet spectacle if that were in fact to happen. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, where we talk about topics of interest in politics and science, sports, in everyday life. And again, in the case of Scott Spears, he often has celebrity guests, some rather impressive people, if I should say the least. And as I mentioned earlier, go to our website, WWGH1071.com, and peruse the list of celebrity interviews of aforementioned talk show host. You've probably heard that the FDA has granted emergency authorization to a new treatment for patients with the COVID-19 coronavirus. The drug is a monoclonal antibody. Someone with a science background, a chem background, that is a fascinating word. And the news is certainly very good, but we have to be cautiously optimistic. And anybody with the scientific interest, like myself, our brains definitely are spinning a mile a minute, so to speak. It is approved for mild to moderate infections in people over the age of 12. But people are having a hard time getting past one part of the experimental medication from Eli Lilly. It's the name. The name is Bamlanivimab. B-A-M-L-A-N-I-V-I-M-A-B. Twitter users had some thoughts. You kind of look at that, Bamlanivimab. It does sound a little bit like what David Lee Roth, the former lead singer of the great hard rock band Van Halen, sometimes says during some of the songs he sings. One Twitter user, Patton Oswalt, on November 10th said, congratulations to David Lee Roth for winning Eli Lilly's Name Our COVID-19 contest. You might have heard of the one-hit wonder band Ram Jam and their great classic rock tune, Black Betty. Oh, Black Betty, Bam Lana Vivimab. Whoa, Black Betty, Bam Lana Vivimab. It does a bit sound like the lines of the song, if you're familiar with it like I am. So medications don't always have boring names like Advil or penicillin. Sometimes they have cool names that almost sound like something that you might hear in a rock and roll tune. We'll talk a little more about that because, you know, I do love words. I am definitely a wordsmith, a George Carlin of sorts. So when those kind of stories come up where the news itself is interesting, just like the words used or the names of the people or some kind of human interest aspect, I'm certainly one not to shy away from talking about it, not just to my friends and colleagues, but on this radio show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. So what else is going on in the world that we live in? and it's a bit of a tenuous time for sure. Jenna Bush Hager remembered a heartwarming moment her family shared with Malia and Sasha Obama 12 years ago. Bush Hager, alongside her twin sister Barbara and their mother Laura Bush, wife of George W. Bush, the former president, former owner of the Texas Rangers, and former Texas governor. She showed the Obama girls around the White House shortly after Barack Obama won the 2008 election. 12 years ago today, again at the time of this article, I drove from my job teaching in Baltimore to meet my mom and sister in D.C. to show the next residents of this house their new home. She wrote that in an Instagram post on Tuesday, November 10th. Looking at the article, there are some really cool pictures and amazing how the Obama girls have grown up in 12 years. Of course, that's kind of expected, but it's nice to see memories of 2008 and notice the cordial nature of the Bush young Bush daughter, Jenna Bush Hager, and her connection and her kindness to the young Obama daughters, Malia and Sasha. Barbara and I taught the girls how to slide down the banister and all the secrets of the White House we loved as little girls, the best hiding spots, the movie theater, and the bowling alley. We showed them our rooms that would soon be theirs, 12 years. P.S. I love my teacher outfit. It makes me nostalgic for that time. So pretty cool stuff. Bush Hager has spoken about giving the Obama family a White House tour before, but the story seemed especially poignant this week, given the country's fragile political situation. Despite losing the popular vote and failing to secure the electoral votes needed to clinch the presidency, President Trump has yet to concede to President-elect Biden and continues to make allegations of voter fraud. And that's according to an article in the Huffington Post. That's not my opinion. Trump and his staff have refused to promise a peaceful transition of power and have yet to invite Biden and his family to the White House. Bush Hager's post and the reaction to it came days after she spoke about the letter that her grandfather, the late President George H.W. Bush, left for his successor, President Clinton, on Clinton's inauguration day. In the poignant letter, Bush wrote that he wished Clinton great happiness and offered advice. "You will be our president when you read this note. I wish you well. I wish your family well. Your success now is our country's success. I am rooting hard for you." The letter is about a love and a respect for our country. Bush Hager said that her grandfather, George H.W. Bush, had that so much that he created this beautiful transition that I hope will continue. So what's going to happen as we approach Inauguration Day? Might the assumed winner, Joe Biden, become the runner-up? Might Donald Trump actually be reelected due to having 270 or more electoral votes, or will it stay as it is? Will Donald Trump relinquish the power that he has as president on July 21st at noon? We shall certainly find out, and we'll certainly notice that some articles are slanted one way or the other. In terms of the Huffington Post, well, they certainly do slant to the left, but they have such good information that I like to pass it along. But certainly if their opinion is a bit presumptive, like I think that article was in parts, I do append what they have to say with my own viewpoint. Again, I'm not really sure who won the election. I'm not sure who won any election since 2020. And that, of course, includes Jen Bush Hager's father, President George W. Bush. I'm not sure we'll ever know. But life must go on. I certainly hope that they can get these voting software glitches fixed. Because honestly, if they're off by even one vote, that's one vote too many. Kind of makes a mockery of the democracy that we treasure so much here in the great United States of America. Adam Lepp here, entering the home stretch of my program, the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, / mid-morning coffee break. We talk about current events, sometimes the lighter side of the news, technology news, and of course politics, and almost everything else. I do want to add a personal note. I'm very saddened by the passing of Alex Trebek at the age of 80. Talk about a game show host with staying power. A highly intelligent host who took his job very seriously, was always very fair, and really set an example for people of all generations. He fought a courageous battle with cancer. Unfortunately, the battle ended in his passing recently, age 80. I've admired, I've loved watching him since the 70s, and may he rest in peace. Very sad when I heard about that. I've certainly taken inspiration from the way that he's spoken, his cerebral approach. It's influenced me, as I think it will influence anybody who steps in front of a microphone. And a sad day, but his legacy has, I think, made all of us better Americans and better people. A great man. May Alex Trebek rest in peace. The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, invites you to become a supporter of the Adam the Computer Guy and Mid-Morning Coffee Break programs. You will receive a mention on this show, as well as mentions during other times of the day, and you will also be listed on our esteemed website, WWGH1071.com. Interested in becoming a supporter of this program? You'll be surprised how low the cost is, and we have a listenership that increases daily. We have a website that people read all over. I know users in Arizona and other places that view our website and listen to the station regularly, and that's only increasing. So get in touch with me. I'll be happy to speak with you about becoming a supporter of this program, adam@wwgh1071.com. On that note, I want to thank you again for listening. You can also email me at adam@wwgh1071.com. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, complaints about this program, I'd love to hear what you have to say. And as I always point out, just like Hillary and just like Melania, we have a private email server that, like the website, is curated, programmed, and maintained and hosted. All that good stuff. By yours truly, Adam Lepp. Send me an email, even if you just want to say hi. I value every correspondence from my listeners, our big listening family. Unlike Hillary, I do read every single email, because every one of you folks is important. adam@wwgh1071.com. Stay tuned for the top of the hour features and much more great programming. Have a great rest of your day. Adam Lepp signing off here on The Talking Place.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? Did my server serve me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam, don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot get online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com.
See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Can't you see you're in my way now? Don't you know you're tramp a style? When I thought of what you told me, nearly made me lose my head.
sorry, pretty daddy. You know my love is just for you. She said, I'm sorry, pretty daddy. You know my love is just for you. Won't you say that you'll forgive me and say your love for me is true? I said, wait a minute, baby. I know you mean it just for play. I said, wait a minute, baby. I know you mean it just for play. Don't you know you really hurt me? And this is what I have to say.
See you later, alligator.